The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Brooklyn Nets are acquiring Houston's James Harden in a blockbuster deal.
He gets his wish in every way.
This trade makes the Nets the most must-see team in the NBA by a long distance.
The Nets are acquiring former MVP James Harden from the Rockets. Now, here's what's crazy. The history of the NBA is the team that gets the best player in the deal wins the deal. Rockets won this deal. I mean, time will tell depending on who they take in the draft. They had no leverage here because superstars dictate where they're going to go. Like, you know, KD and LeBron can just sign with whoever they want. They've shown, look, I'll go here, I'll go there. Go to Golden State, I'll go to Brooklyn. I'll go to Miami, back to Cleveland, to L.A. But even when teams try to play tough with the stars, bottom line is AD let everyone know, look, I'm going to L.A. And where did he get traded? L.A. James Harden let everyone know, I'm heading to Brooklyn. Where did he get traded? Brooklyn. Considering the leverage that Harden and the Nets have had, oh my God. The Houston Rockets got 4 first-round picks. Because they have Milwaukee's pick. They sent it that to Brooklyn, too. And listen, in 2022, first-rounders from Brooklyn and Milwaukee ain't going to be worth a whole lot, right? Ain't going to be bad. It's nice to get a first-rounder, but it ain't going to be worth a whole lot. But in 2024, 2026, 2027, the Nets just gave up every draft pick they're ever going to have. And they get like, Dinwiddie got hurt. And they included Caris LeVert in the deal. So Brooklyn probably not going to be good in 2026, 2027. That might be a great pick, but it's not just the 4 first-round picks Houston got. It's the 4 first-round swaps. In addition to the 4 picks, they can swap first-rounders with Brooklyn. They got a haul. And by the way, then Houston turned LeVert into Oladipo. It's a great job by Houston. Brooklyn, USA, burying the lead because you got James Harden. And what's crazy about this is Dinwiddie gets hurt. And before he got hurt, I thought, Brooklyn, don't trade for Harden. That's a big mistake to trade for Harden. You're going to thin out your depth. It's one of the strengths of the team. You know, there's only one ball. What are Kyrie and Harden going to do in the backcourt? And I just liked the way the team looked. Then Dinwiddie got hurt. Dinwiddie got hurt and counterintuitively, rather than thinking, okay, now we need more depth. In fact, the right move is to say, okay, now it's not going to be our thing depth. We need another playmaker in the backcourt. Now you got to go top heavy. Now you got to get a difference maker to make up for the fact that you're lacking depth. And they go out and get James freaking Harden. The Brooklyn Nets, it's finals or bust. But do they have to win the whole thing? And is LA worried? Here's the bottom line. There's one big three in the NBA. One big three. It's in Brooklyn. I'm not talking about here are 2 best players and here's another guy who's not bad. Like Dennis Schroeder's pretty good, right? No, I'm not talking about that. I mean 3 great players. And here's the thing about big threes, especially in the absence of other big threes in the league. Because they're pretty rare big threes, right? Failure is losing in the finals. Not making the finals is not acceptable. When Boston got the big three, and you're going to be hearing from Paul Pierce later in the show, Paul Pierce is joining me in a little bit. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, there was no other big three in the league. They won the championship that year. When LeBron failed at first with his big three in Miami, LeBron, Wade, Bosh, they made the finals and failed in the finals in 6 games. You got to make the finals. But is there even a big three right now? I'm going to get to that in a second. First, here's Kevin Durant at the Nets press conference after the Harden deal.
Losing teammates and Caris and Jarrett and Torian, but also welcoming in, you know, a teammate in James Harden.
I heard that's not even finalized yet, so I'll talk about it another time.
I know you don't want to get into things until they are official, but looking into the past, what was it like to play with James? What do you remember about him as a teammate? Because you have played together.
It was fun.
Well, KD has not played with this James Harden. James Harden was an excellent 6th man back then, but he was not an MVP. Harden's an MVP caliber player now. Although recall that Oklahoma City team, which was like the most, that was the most kind of underachieving would-be dynasty ever. They made one finals, and they were all early 20s. KD, one of the best players ever. James Harden, one of the best scorers ever. Russell Westbrook, future MVP triple-double guy on the season. And Serge Ibaka, who's still excellent, just went to the Clippers instead of, you know, swapped out Harrell for Ibaka and made the Clippers better. Better than a young player like Montrezl Harrell. That was amazing talent. But recall, Harden was the sixth man, even though he was third or fourth best player on the team, because he and Westbrook functioned better apart than together on the floor together, right? Only one ball. Now, there's so much to unpack here. 888-SAY-ESPN. How are you feeling about this, New York? 888-SAY-ESPN. And all around the country, people want to chime in. I'm actually going to take calls today. Let me say this. First of all, is it a big three in the sense that does Brooklyn, in fact, have three guys? Or is Kyrie not really on the Brooklyn Nets right now? You know, you can see trading for James Harden is a hedge against Kyrie just not playing. And by the way, so they lose Dinwiddie for the season. The Nets just not just trade Caris LeVert, but Allen is their big. He's a very good player. They're really putting all their eggs in the big three basket. But is it three? Is there Kyrie even on the team right now? The next game Kyrie misses will mean that through his Brooklyn tenure, he will have missed twice as many games as he played. He's not been very durable, and even when he's physically healthy, he's not playing. Now, if they have a big three, the question is, how do Kyrie and James Harden coexist in the backcourt? Now, let me tell you a little story. Once upon a time, it's actually from the year before I was born. I was born in 73. The Knicks won the championship in 73. But before they won the championship, they traded for Earl the Pearl Monroe from the Baltimore Bullets. On First Take, I called them the Washington, but they moved to Washington. But they were the Baltimore Bullets. And Earl Monroe was called Black Jesus. If you have never seen Earl Monroe, Google him, YouTube him, right? Check out Earl Monroe. You'd be like, hold on, that's a street baller from like this year. That's like the nastiest street baller from this year. That's the modern stuff Earl Monroe was doing. He was a magician. He was unbelievable. And Walt Clyde Frazier was already a champion with the Knicks. Earl the Pearl won on that first Knicks championship, 69-70. And when they made the trade for Earl Monroe, everyone was asking, there's only one ball. How are Clyde Frazier and Earl the Pearl going to coexist in the backcourt? They coexisted just fine. They beat the Lakers in the finals. The Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain Lakers in the finals. It can be done. But how does Kyrie react? Like, first of all, who has to sacrifice the most? Harden, Kyrie, or Durant? There's an answer to that. I'm going to tell you coming up. What does this mean for Kyrie? And who's under the most pressure? Is it finals or bust for the Nets? You agree with that? Which superstar is going to have to sacrifice the most? 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm toying with the idea of getting to calls right now. Usually, I'll do that later on in the show, but I think I got to hear from people right now. Kay in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Kay in New Jersey. That doesn't look like there's
LeBron is able to meet the Nets in the finals, and he's able to beat them. This will give him another argument that he's better than Jordan, even though that's not true. But
I heard this nonsense from Kendrick Perkins. Nothing of the sort. First of all, LeBron's going to be favored to beat them because the problem with the trade is the Nets already are not a good defensive team. And they're in Allen, they're losing someone who can play some defense to bring in a guy in James Harden who really can't. Right. And so, or he can, but he often doesn't, though in recent years, increasingly he has. So it's not a very good defensive team, and it maybe just got worse. That's number one. Number two, Michael Jordan, when he came back and started the second three-peat, beat a 60-win Shaq Penny team, swept them. They'd been to the finals the year before. He swept them and then beat a 64-win Seattle team with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Everyone, shut up. Like, Shaquille O'Neal, when he was on the Magic, there's no one in the NBA, with the possible exception of LeBron James, who is considered now what Shaq was considered then. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. That was before I took that call. It was Straight Talk Wireless, just to be clear. By the way, I have a special guest for you right now. Paul Pierce already got moved up in the show, Raj. Paul Pierce joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. What's up, Paul?
Can you hear me?
I got you now, Paul. Paul, thanks for coming on. You were part of a big three in Boston. You were a superstar in Boston. You didn't have a lot of help. They went out and got you, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. And you guys immediately won a championship. So you have insight into this. What needs to happen in Brooklyn right now that there's Harden, one would think still Kyrie, and KD?
I lost you there, Max.
I'll say it again. You got me, Paul?
Okay. Got you.
You were a superstar toiling away without a ton of help in Boston. They went out and got you, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. And the three of you came together and immediately won a championship. Looking at the Nets right now, Kyrie, one would think, if he's still playing basketball, KD and James Harden, what do these three guys need to do right now to have your kind of success?
Well, it's going to be tough. Let me tell you, the circumstances are a lot different because we had a full training camp. And then when you look at me, Kevin, and Ray, we all had different types of games. And so in order for them, the Nets, with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Durant, they're going to have to change up a bit. You know, all of them can't average 30 points, you know, something that they've been doing the last few years. And so somebody's going to have to be able to take a step back and be good with that. And when I look at these three in the prime of their – still in the prime of their careers, I'm not sure who's going to be willing to give that up. When you look at us, we were like – we hadn't won a championship yet, and we were all willing to take that sacrifice. In KD's case, he's won a chip. Kyrie's case, he's won a championship. Harden has not. And so who's going to be willing to take a step back and sacrifice for this team to win? And that's the biggest question that I ask. When I see these three put together.
Paul, what's amazing to me is LeBron might stop these guys. He stopped you guys back then. This dude is still going. But let me stay on topic for a second. It seems to me, in terms of sacrifice, a lot of people are pointing to Kyrie because he's the third best player. But it seems to me, in fact, it's Harden who's going to have to do the sacrificing, because what makes Harden so special is no matter how many shots he takes, no matter how many tough threes, the whole thing, they go in at the same rate. He's a very high usage player, and the more you dial it up, he still remains the same level of efficiency. That's really his value. Whereas, actually, if you just want to have a shooting contest, Kyrie's a better shooter from the line, from three. Kyrie finishes in the paint as well as anyone under the rim who ever lived. Kyrie's got better handles, right? Like, so it's when I think about who suffers in a big three, it's actually Harden. Like, Kyrie's been second banana to LeBron before and won a championship. It's Harden who's going to have to give up those touches and time with the ball. Is it not?
Yeah, I agree with that, because he's coming into a situation that's already established. You know, Kyrie and KD, they started the season. They've been in training camp. They orchestrated this move to come to Brooklyn. And so he's coming to sit at their dining table. You know, when you're new to dinner, you can't come to dinner and tell them what you want. You got to eat what we serve. And so he's going to have to take that sacrifice. And understand, at the end of the day, when I look at this squad, this is KD's team. And if I'm Harden, and when I come over there, the first thing I'm going to say, look, I'm not trying to take nothing away from y'all. I just want to come here and win a championship. I'm willing to do whatever I can, because this is what he wants. This is what Harden wants. You know, he had everything given to him in Houston. He could do what he wants, practice, play, show up when he wanted, and he showed up 99% of the time. And they built everything around him. And so now he's coming into somebody else's house, and he's going to have to do what they say and try to win a championship, because that's all he asked for. He said in Houston, we're not good enough. Well, let me tell you, the Nets with Kyrie and KD, y'all are good enough now. And the mood around the Nets now is championship or bust, because when you put these three caliber players on one team, you can't expect nothing but championship. I mean, look at the resumes, and these guys are still at the prime of their career. So, yes, Harden will have to take a step back. He will have to sacrifice and say, hey, you know, I'm willing to take this in order to win a championship. He's done everything else. He's won MVP. He's made max contracts. He's all-star games. He's done everything you can ask for but win a championship. So if he's willing to do that, then I like the Nets' chances.
Talking to the great Paul Pierce, don't forget, he was Finals MVP in 2008 on that Garnett-Ray Allen team. Paul, when I think about it, I think it like this. Number one, here's some misconceptions I think that people are wrong about. Kyrie's going to have to sacrifice the most. No, I explained why. I think it's actually James Harden who's going to have to sacrifice the most. But here's another one. Ready? Kyrie or James Harden, maybe, because he's never won a title, is under the most pressure. I actually think it's KD. And let me tell you why and hear whether you agree or disagree and why.
Okay.
I think it's KD for this reason. When you look at KD as a basketball player, the physical package and what he can do on the floor, almost 7 feet tall, with the wingspan he has, as Stephen A. always points out on First Take, he can bomb from the outside. He can shoot the mid-range. He can get to the paint. He's turned himself into an excellent passer. He can defend multiple positions at an all-star level as his career progressed. He can do everything. Like, there's nothing stopping him physically from being the best player who ever lived. But when you talk about the greatest players ever, when you say MJ, LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Bird, they all consistently led groups of guys to championships. KD's never done that. KD joined a 73-win team. That team had already won a chip a couple years before that, and they'd won 73 games the year before. Any MVP player on that team is going to put him over the top. KD is now trying to lead a team to a championship, an imperfect team, not very deep. As you said, guys who don't all do different things, how are they going to get along? So to me, the most pressure is on actually Kevin Durant. Am I right or wrong?
No, I think you're wrong. I mean, he has different type of pressure. I mean, because his pressure is based around him, you know, wanting to be known as the best player in the league. And in order to do that, you got to take the king off the throne, and that's LeBron, and lead a team to a championship, like you said. So there's pressure in that aspect. Because for years, you know, there's been an argument who's been the best player in the year. You know, you're going to say LeBron, KD. Those two are consistently in the conversation. And I'm sure that KD gets annoyed when people say still LeBron, when you look at the skill level of this guy. Yes, he's won two finals MVP. Yes, he's won two championships. But look in the fashion he did it. So that's why he went to Brooklyn. And so now, in saying that, the pressure's on him to try to say, hey, I'm the best player in the league. But to win a championship, there's no more pressure on KD. So all the pressure is on James Harden. Because, look, he forced his way out of Houston. He got what he asked for. So now it's time for him to deliver. You got everything you want in Houston. Now you want it out. And now all the pressure is on you to help them deliver a championship. So I don't agree in that aspect as far as winning that all the pressure is on KD. All the pressure is on Harden for him to get his first championship. Because when we talk about at the end of the day, when you talk about players, the best players to never win a championship, Harden is going to be consistently in that conversation until he does so.
Am I right or is Paul Pierce right? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Excuse me. Paul, before I let you go, we got about a minute. What do you think LeBron's thinking right now? You know, when I look at KD and the Warriors, LeBron beat a 73-win Warrior team, and KD couldn't do it with the Thunder that same year. Both played a Game 7 at Oracle, and it seemed to me that when KD joined the Warriors, that was the ultimate tip of the cap to LeBron. Like, they looked at each other like, shit, neither one of us can get by this dude. Let's join forces and try and get by him. What do you think LeBron is thinking right now? In L.A., he's got AD, defending champs. If anything, they probably got better in the offseason. But he's got one dude with him and a supporting cast. KD got an MVP and Kyrie with him. What do you think LeBron's thinking?
LeBron is not thinking twice about this squad. LeBron, only thing is on LeBron's mind is adding to his legacy. I mean, he looks at these mix of players and say, oh, yeah, that's great. But you look at the Lakers, they're already a well-oiled machine. Right now they're cruising, whereas the Nets got to make up some ground. And we're not even sure if they're going to work well together. So give them about 25, 30 games to see where they're at. Maybe LeBron's mind will change a little bit, like maybe, okay. You know, because before this season and right now, we're like, it's a no-brainer. The Lakers are going to win the championship. Now that they made this move with Brooklyn, with Gatton, James Harden, it's like, okay, maybe he has some serious competition. If there's any team in the East, because before we said there's no team in the East, even if they make it to the finals, that can beat the Lakers. Now you got a team that raises that question. You know, now you go around to all the barbershops and all the group chats and Zoomies and say, okay, there's a team that can finally challenge the Lakers. And so, yeah, it's crossed his mind a little, but LeBron's not worried one bit right now until he sees what this product could put out on the floor. And in my mind, I'm not sure if they can work, because when you look at all the championship teams and all the superstars and all the big threes and super teams that put together, they all had different skill sets. And I don't see that with this squad. You know, they all have similar skill sets. They, outside of KD, he can play off the ball, but you got to have the ball in Kyrie's hand to be effective most of the time. The ball in James Harden, these guys' usage rates is off the charts over the last 5-6 years. And so the biggest question is, can they mix and be that threat? And so until that is, yeah, they have the names, but do they have the game to go with it and the chemistry to become a superpower in the NBA?
Brother, brother. Paul Pierce, appreciate you coming on, especially today, and hopefully we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mac.
There's Paul Pierce, who joined me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Max, the podcast.
The Nets will now feature James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving if and when he returns.
You have three MVP-level players together.
But also three of the more interesting personalities.
Let me tell you what I teased before the break. And there was a stat on First Take today when Richard Jefferson was talking. Since 2013-2014, we're now in the 2021 season, okay? So it's been seven seasons. 7 years. All three guys, KD, James Harden, and Kyrie, are in the top six in the league in points per isolation, direct isolation. And this gets to my point. You know, who are the greatest scorers of all time? This is off the top of your head, right? Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, KD. They're like Wilt Chamberlain at his best, right? But Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem aren't getting their own shots the way a perimeter player is. When you think about shot creators, the best scorers of all time, who are also get their own shots, you're really down to Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant. Am I missing anyone? Isn't it going to come down to those three? And then maybe you could add, like, Elgin Baylor or Jerry West in their primes, but in the modern game, James Harden? It's going to come, right? Harden's scoring has just been absurd. Guys, do you understand? Never in the history of basketball have there been two guys, let alone three, who are on this level of scoring. You could say Kobe and Shaq, but again, that's one perimeter player. And other than Kobe and Shaq, and by the time Chamberlain was with Jerry West, Wilt was past his prime. Other than Kobe and Shaq, and again, Shaq doesn't get his own shot, who's even on this level? Ever? You have two guys who are both in the argument for greatest scorer ever? And that doesn't include Kyrie Irving, who's averaging 27 points. Like, think about that for a second. James Harden's this incredible scorer. Kyrie shoots it better from three and the free throw line and finishes in the paint at least as well. When people argue, who's a better pure scorer? Who's a better scorer than James Harden in this era? Well, the answer is Kevin Durant. They're on the same team. But there's only one ball. Only one ball. Mark in Memphis, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I've been waiting for this dumpster fire since the trade rumors began. I cannot wait for this. This is never going to work. You've got three players that all do the same thing. It's subtraction by addition. I think they'd probably be better with just Durant and Harden, but this is like putting Favre, Tom Brady, and Brees in the same team and saying it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome for all the wrong reasons.
Mark in Memphis, you make some good points, but let me just refine them a little bit. Maybe you're being hyperbolic. They don't all do exactly the same thing. KD is this incredibly great player, whether or not he's monopolizing the ball. So they don't do all exactly the same thing. And the second thing is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when the Pearl Monroe was traded from Baltimore to the Knicks, and the Knicks had already won a championship a couple years before, to share a backcourt with Walt Clyde Frazier. They were both pretty much combo guards. There's only one ball. How are they going to do it? They figured it out. They won a championship together. It can be done. It depends on the personality and the willingness to sacrifice of the players. And I think it's Harden who's going to have to do the more sacrificing. Now, Mark also mentioned something else interesting. It's really Harden and Durant you would keep out of those three, right? Who says the last trade has been made involving Kyrie? Now, apparently, it's hard to trade Kyrie right now. But you would think eventually, if Kyrie was serious about basketball, there would be takers. Kyrie is a all-time great talent in his prime. Eric in Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi there, Max. Hey, I was just honestly wondering how Knicks fans are feeling right now. If Brooklyn is able to pull something off like this, the Knicks may as well just move their franchise to Seattle and let Brooklyn be the Kings of New York.
Yeah, wait, they didn't? The Knicks are still in New York? Are you sure? I used to host a radio show, the Max Kellerman Show, in New York City on ESPN Radio. And at a certain point, I was so demoralized by trying to root for the Knicks after so many years of failure. And I'm talking about they're in last place every year. That I said, let's adopt a team. If New York listeners remember what I'm talking about. I was like, who should we root for? Let's root for a LeBron James. So we started, hey, look, Anaheim Angels, the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. What? So I thought, okay, we'll do the same thing. How far can we go? Maybe 1,000 miles. Okay, fine. The New York Cavs of Cleveland. So we started following the New York Cavs of Cleveland as though they were the hometown team. I used to have Mike Brown on, the coach of the Cavs, as though he was the local coach. Are you sure? I just want to make, Raj, check it out. Make sure the Knicks are still playing in New York, because I'm not sure that's true. Haven't heard much about them recently. A couple of weeks ago, it was like, yeah, they're kind of hot, and now all of a sudden you don't hear about it anymore. Unfortunately, the Knicks are operating a little smarter recently, or else the Nets would be able to dump Kyrie out on the Knicks and get some good pieces for him. D-Rock in Brooklyn. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, don't rule that out. The Knicks are still the Knicks. You could probably trade Kyrie if push comes to shove with Julius Randle. Let me just say this.
You want Randle?
If I'm in the Nets, we need a power forward, and we need to upgrade a center.
You want Julius Randle? You're willing to move Kyrie Irving for Julius Randle? Are you out of your mind? Julius Randle and how many picks and players is the question?
If push came to shove, but I don't think it has to come that far. I'll just say this. Defense and rebounding was our biggest issue before the trade. Yep. Now it's an even bigger issue.
Yep.
If necessary, the trade to make would be Joe Harris. You could probably upgrade either center or power forward, that move.
Don't trade Joe Harris. That boy, good. That kid can shoot the lights out and does not need the ball. Like think about, here's how it does work offensively. They have four guys in the starting lineup. It's the best starting lineup in basketball. And they have four guys who are deadly from the outside. You got KD, Harden, and Kyrie. And none of those three are the best shooter on the team. You have two of the best scorers of all time who can shoot the lights out from outside, and Kyrie. And you got a guy on the team who's capable of playing real minutes who shoots better than all those dudes in Joe Harris. Don't move Joe Harris. Listen, offensively, then if they can play together, the Nets will be totally unguardable. You are going to need someone to rebound the ball. They're going to have to find someone to rebound the ball. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, Ask Max coming up. By the way, my guy, Stephen A. Smith, goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. By the way, I'm not telling you this just because I work for the company, although obviously I'm incentivized to do so because I work for the company. ESPN Plus is such a deal. The stuff you get on ESPN Plus is insane. You want to see like Joe Montana or Kobe Bryant breaking down plays? plus like the best fights of all time and stuff like that. In addition to Stephen A's show and all that stuff, ESPN Plus, sign up. Trust me. You can catch me every weekday at 2 p.m., of course, Eastern time, along with Greeny at 10 a.m., Bart and Hahn at noon, Shanae and Golic Jr. at 4 p.m., Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, Axe Max. Coming up here, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So excited for Marvel Studios' WandaVision. The universe is expanding. Marvel Studios' first original series starts streaming this Friday, only on Disney+. Ooh, I just finished The Mandalorian Season 2 with my daughters. A lot of fun watching that. Check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision original series streaming Friday, only on Disney+.
Axe Max.
Rob in New York, what you got to ask me, or at least say? What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, Mac?
Go ahead, Rob.
So I was just thinking, about the Kyrie situation. Honestly, like, if he doesn't come back, I don't know what's going to go on with that, if he's going to get traded or, you know, if he's even going to come back. But I feel like he would have to sacrifice the most, and without him, they're better off against the Lakers than with him.
Ah, Rob, you simpleton. Let me explain this to you. I know it seems that way. Like, Kyrie is the third option, so he'll have to sacrifice the most. What is really sacrifice? Let me explain this to you. James Harden is an incredibly high usage player. His value is wrapped up in the fact that no matter how much you use him, no matter how many shots he takes, no matter how difficult the three, right, he remains the same level of efficient. You could put up get to the free throw line a billion times and take a billion threes, and he's going to hit 36, 37% of them, and, you know, whatever, 88, whatever it's going to be from the free throw line. He's the one who's going to shoot much less. He has to, even if he's second option. He's second option. The pecking order is very clear. KD's clearly and by far the best player on the team. Number two is Harden. Number three is Kyrie. But think of Harden's value. It's that he's a one-man offense, no longer. Kyrie is actually a better three-point shooter and free-throw shooter than Harden. Kyrie has already been a second option. Kyrie has already played on a team where he wasn't always the primary ball handler. Sometimes he was, sometimes he wasn't with LeBron, but was the second offensive option. And was great. Harden is going to be perceived as losing the most. Because when you're a guy who's not taking 10 threes a game, but you're still hitting like 37% of them, suddenly, yeah, a lot of guys can hit 37% of six or seven threes a game. Harden's going to appear to have lost the most value, and therefore, he's making the biggest sacrifice. Guy in Queens, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? I just want to talk about the team. Defensively is when they're going to have a problem. Harden can't guard a chair. Kyrie is on an offensive level of his own, and KD is pulling up on three-pointers. Where are they going to stop people at the other end of the floor?
That's a great question. Look, they need help, backline help, right? Last line of defense help. That's not DeAndre Jordan at this point in his career. I'll say this. James Harden, when he's in shape, became a reliable defender. Very good post defender. And KD, before he got hurt, was a great defender on multiple positions. And Kyrie is capable in high leverage moments of playing defense. It's in there somewhere. This is all going to be about buy-in and chemistry. It's like I've never seen something like with such high-end possibilities, such potential for both, you know, glory and disaster. This is the best show in sports right now. So much more to unpack in this Harden to the Nets deal. L.A., are you worried? You think LeBron's sweating it? Are you sweating it? 888-SAY-ESPN, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, coming right up.